Actor Eli Wallach is our guest. In The Godfather Part 3, Wallach played Don Altobello, a treacherous mafia patriarch who schemes to keep Michael Corleone from quitting the crime world. Let's hear a scene.
As your family's oldest friend, I'm always chosen to bring you messages.
Tell me, Don Altobello.
Your old partners are grateful for the money you made them. They worship you. But their hearts are broken because they think you abandoned them. They want to share your deal on Immobiliare. To be a family again, it can purify their money.
This I cannot do. Immobiliare must be legitimate.
I know. But they're unhappy.
Eli Wallach and Al Pacino from The Godfather Part 3. When Terry spoke with Wallach in 1990, he described the character he played in the film.
I play a character called Don Altobello.
You're Italian again.
Yes, tall and handsome. Don Altobello, an old, old friend of the Corleone family. So I said to Coppola, the director, if I'm such an old, old friend of the family, why wasn't I in Godfather 1 and Godfather 2? He says, well, you were away in Sicily. And it was very sweet. The second day I was going to work on this movie, he said to me, you're going to play it all in Sicilian. I said, no, I don't know Sicilian. He said, well, get a guy, you get a cassette, you'll memorize it. So I memorized it, and there'll be subtitles under that scene, that specific scene. I play, it sounds like this. E che bello vita stare qua. Like that.
Had you seen The Godfathers 1 and 2? And
oh, yes.
So you felt you could just pick up on the story?
Well, no. When I got the script, the last 10 pages were omitted.
Why?
Because he didn't want anybody to know their fate in this movie.
Oh, like Woody Allen.
Oh, you had no idea where I was going. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And it's very interesting not to know. It's like life. You don't know when you're going to pop off, right? And he was a fascinating director because he would stimulate. He'd tighten a screw here and tighten a screw there with just a word or two. And he'd leave me alone pretty much. I played an old man with an hour and 20 minutes of the rubberized makeup thing on. Now, to go from Cinecittà in Rome back to my hotel at the Spanish Steps would take an hour by car. So I rode the subway. So the first day I finished, I got on the subway, which was 20 minutes, very fast. And I'm sitting there looking at my script, and I'm peeling off all this rubberized makeup. And I look up, and there, the opposite side of the car of the subway, they're all staring at me. Half my chin was off with this rubberized. And I put it back on, and they applauded. That's Italy.
Did they realize you were an actor? Did they think something very grotesque was happening?
They knew I was coming from Cinecittà, so they know all the actors come out of that studio.
Oh, I see. I want to get back to something you were saying before. You were describing how you learned how to ride a horse and how you learned a Mexican accent when you were at the University of Texas. I can't think of a lot of people from Brooklyn who went to Texas to go to college, and this must have been, what, the 1940s?
In the 30s.
In the 30s. What got you to Texas to go to college?
The tuition was $30 a year. The University of Texas was an oil-rich college, university. It's a huge plant now with 40, 50,000 students. When I went, it was 4,000 students. And I couldn't get into City College. I didn't have the grades. I never liked high school. And I finally wound up down in Texas. I'll never forget, after the first semester, I went back up to New York to make some money for my tuition. And I wore a big belt that said Tex, Texas on it. And they used to call me Tex. Here I was from Brooklyn. And so they assigned me as a horseback riding counselor. And so I had to ride. And that's one of the reasons I rode a lot.
When did you start acting?
As a boy, as a little boy. And before the war, I went into the neighborhood playhouse. I failed a teacher's exam. Everybody in my family were teachers. Thank God I failed it. And I went, got a scholarship to the Neighborhood Playhouse School of the Theater. I'm on the board of that school now. It's a wonderful acting school. I finished, one of the teachers was Martha Graham, Sanford Meisner, and so on. I finished in 1940, and we did our senior project was a dance from Look Homeward Angel. Tony Randall was in the class. We choreographed Look Homeward Angel. And at one point, Uncle Sam stands on a thing and points a finger at me and says, Uncle Sam wants you. And sure enough, I got a low number in the draft, and Uncle Sam got me. So I went in the Army at the end of 1940 and got out at the end of 1945. So I spent 5 full years in the Army, not acting. I kept thinking, Broadway, here I come. And Uncle Sam kept saying, wait a minute, we've got problems here. So I spent 5 years as a medical administrator in the Army.
You've, throughout your career, divided your time between theater and movies. Have you had a preference? What kind of balance have you wanted to keep?
Well, I've got the appetite still to act. I love to act. And I don't care where it is. It could be in a tiny theater in Chicago, or it can be on a huge stage in New York, or a movie in the middle of the jungle in Cambodia. The fact is that I'm acting in each one of those media, in the media. But if given a choice, if I were told by a judge, you can only practice one of television, movies, or the theater, I'd choose the theater without hesitation.
Why?
Because the gratification is immediate. There's a connection between me and an audience. I have control over what you see. In a movie, you only see what's put on the screen. I did that movie, The Two Jakes, with Jack Nicholson. When they cut it and edited it, I had a long scene in a courtroom that was cut out. Now no one knows about that. In The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, there's 20 minutes of me tracking down Clint Eastwood in a cave. It's beautiful, brilliantly shot. No one has ever seen it. So I don't like that. I like to have control over what you see.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
A pleasure.
Actor Eli Wallach speaking with Terry Gross in 1990. His new memoir is called The Good, the Bad, and Me in My Anecdotage. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.